Take your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would, please. So if you found your place in 2 Peter chapter 1, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you would, please. And we're just going to look at verses 1 through 15. I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently here in 2 Peter in chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So we've talked about this in several different topics in the past. And it's somewhat related to holiness in a way, but it's this thing of being virtuous. Being virtuous. Now, simply being virtuous is to be morally good, okay? Or to act in conformity with moral law and practicing the moral duties and abstaining from vice. That's simply what being virtuous means. We've talked about the virtuous woman, you know, in Proverbs 31, etc. And we've talked about some of these things in many other places. As we read here in 2 Peter, I want to point out to you to something in verse 3. He says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. So he's called us to virtue. You know, Jesus Christ has successfully provided salvation for us. Are you okay with that? Yeah, and aren't you glad? Hey, he also has successfully provided us an example to live by as Christians. Hey, he's successfully given us another comforter to indwell us and live in us to help us. To do what? To live a virtuous life. He's called us to glory and virtue. God wants us to be successful in this. He wants us to have a morally good life and conform to the moral law and practice moral duties. You heard Jesus say about the Old Testament, right? Yeah, thou hast heard it said of old time, right? Thou shalt not kill. But I say unto thee, right? So Jesus kind of stepped it up. He said, look folks, it's not just taking a knife or an instrument or whatever and physically ending the life of another human being. It's hating them in your heart. So he kind of took it all the way. He said, it's not the physical act between a man and a woman that's going to make the difference. It's the thought of it that's going to be committing adultery already in your heart. So he said, hey, this is something that we need to be concerned with. And I've given you salvation. You're now born again. You are now a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He says, hey, I've given you my spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, to bring all things in your remembrance and help you and guide you through life and show you these things. He said, hey, I've given you all the tools that you need. I've given you an example. I've experienced all these things. And guess what? They're recorded and you have them in my word. So you can go and use it as a reference and look it up and figure it out and find what you need. You say, well, who decides what's moral and what's not? That's a good question. You know, morality is one of those things that's variable, if you will. Now, I don't think it is. But others will say it is. Because they have a different system of values that they're determining their morals on. I have one system of values that I determine my morals on. Right here. And this system doesn't change. But the world's going to say, well, you know, my morals are different. Because they're based on this value system instead of your value system. Well, I really can't argue with that. But I do know what I believe. And I do know what I hold to. And that's what I should be concerned with. We ought to be concerned with what God considers moral or immoral. Not what man says is moral or immoral. Because today, they'll just tell you that it's not immoral. You were just born that way. And that's what they tell you. No, that's not sin. That's just who you are. You were just born that way. Yeah, that's your genetic structure. And that's just who you are. Don't be afraid to act out who you are. Well, if we all acted out who we were, this would be a horrible place to live. Because we're all sinners. And we're all wicked and evil and vile and undone without Christ and without God. So, living a virtuous life. I think that we need to understand that we need to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, that he and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We need to live a virtuous life as a Christian. So I thought of some elements that would encompass the virtuous life. First of all, I thought inwardly on what makes or breaks somebody. And I want to read something to you. And you may have remembered what Jesus said. And this was in Mark chapter 7 in verses 14 through 23. It says, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and go without into the draught, and purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So the first thing I thought of, when I thought about living a virtuous life, I thought about our thoughts and our heart. You know, Hebrews tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So I thought about our personal lives, the lives that nobody else sees, nobody else hears, nobody else knows about. Our thought life and our heart, the inward man, the part that Jesus referred to, say, hey, it's not the physical act of killing somebody. It's that hatred already that you haven't even maybe expressed or even told any about, but it's there. And I thought about virtue. And sure, we may be morally good and we may conform to the moral law on the outside. But what about the inside? Because if we can conquer this battle of living a virtuous life inwardly, it will bear outwardly. And we can only bear outwardly so long before what's inwardly comes outward. You know when you're like putting up a front? You know, like the Pharisees, they were whited sepulchers. Hey, that had to come out sometime. Those dead men's bones were not going to be hidden forever. They were going to come out, and boy, sure did they. When they were flogging Jesus and spitting in his face, saying, prophesy! Tell us who hit you! Tell us who spit in your face! I mean, just, whoa, where did that evil come from? Their heart. Hey, we need to be virtuous in the inward man. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, this is practicing virtue. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why does he encourage us to do that? Why are we supposed to think on virtuous things? If there be anything, any of these things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Then he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What things remind you of all of these things that contain virtue? Truth, honesty, just, pure, lovely, good report. Does that remind you of anything? The wonderful Word of God. The wonderful Word of God. It just so happens. I printed a little bit of that to read to you, but that's on another point. Now, God's Word will help us live a virtuous life because it will set the path for our thoughts and the intents of our heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Hey, that tells me that their thought life and their inward man is not virtuous. "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You know what we need in our thought life? Virtue. We need a virtuous inward man. Remember back in Genesis? In chapter 6, the Bible says that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. No virtue. No virtue. Their thoughts and their heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know who had virtuous thoughts? Noah. You know who had a virtuous life? Noah. You know who was saved from the flood and the destruction of all mankind? Noah. He was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. He was virtuous. And even his thoughts and his heart were virtuous. Solomon was told by David, "Know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." I'm just saying that we need to live a virtuous life and hone and shape and mold this characteristic of virtue in our lives, beginning with the inward man. Secondly, we need to have virtue and live a virtuous life concerning the physical man, the outward man. What you all see and hear and experience. Right here, this stuff, right here. This flesh. This life that we live before others. Because guess what? You don't see my thoughts and intents of my heart. And I don't see yours. But sometimes we do get a glimpse of it, right? Because what's on the inside is shown on the outside. But you know what people are good at? Masking those things. Masking those things. I don't know what it was, and I don't know why this just came to my mind. There was a Christian production. I don't even know. It was old because it had that weird 70s music and everything in it. But
You know, several ministries back in the 70s and 80s put out lots of Christian videos, you know. But I don't even remember everything about it, but all I remember, it was this family, and they were going to church, and at home they were all arguing and fighting and you know, against one another and just awful to each other. And they got in the car, and this, it was like a 1980s station wagon, you know, looking thing. They got in the car, and they had these plastic, clear plastic masks they put on. Did anybody see that same video that I, okay, you have no idea. Like, I don't know what he's talking about. But because, and they had this molded smile, you know, and so they, as they got out of the car in the parking lot of the church, they put these masks on and they walked around and had this smile on their faces as they greeted all the church members, and everything was good, and their marriage was fine, and the kids were respectful, and everything was great when it wasn't great. That was the whole point of the video. We do a good job of, if you will, not a good job, because that's a bad thing. We fool people. We may seem like we live a virtuous life. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, this thing of living virtuously in the outward man is not always the difficulty. But remember what God says about doing things being seen of men? You have your reward. You know, we're not doing this to be fake or to put on a facade or to do it as just to look good in the eyes of man, but we should be doing it as unto the Lord. It should be a true revealing of the virtue that's in us in the inward man. So we need to not only make sure that we have the inward man right, but that we're letting it show on the outside. You say, well, I don't want to put on a holier-than-thou attitude. No, don't have a holier-than-thou attitude. Don't be stuck up. Don't be a Pharisee in your treating of others. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But we need to live outwardly what's inward? A virtuous life. Over in Ruth chapter 3, Boaz said to Ruth, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." What does she have? A reputation. The outward man, or in this case, the outward woman that Ruth was, I believe that inwardly she was virtuous. She told Naomi, "Your God is my God. Your people, my people. Where you go, I'm going. I'm gonna do that." And I really believe that she had this thing settled inside of her, and so it was known outside as well. She had a good testimony. Are we not supposed to live our lives before the lost, so they can see Christ in us? "Whoso loveth instruction," Solomon said, "loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a wicked man, but of a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand." We know over in Proverbs 31, it said that, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." We know about Job. that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. We're supposed to live a virtuous life in the outward man. We're supposed to be a virtuous Christian according to the inward man. We need to live it out what's inside. Remember what we learned in Psalm 119? Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You understand that as we walk in the law of the Lord, we on the outside will be living a virtuous life in front of those who need to be saved. And that brings me to the last thing. Not only do we need to be virtuous according to the inward man and be virtuous according to the outward man, but we need to be virtuous according to our relationship with others. With others. What good is it to live our lives holy and acceptable unto the Lord if we do not have an impact on other people? Right? Isn't that what God wants us to do? Isn't that what living holy, acceptable, virtuous life is all about? So that they will see our lives and turn to Christ. That's the whole point. What does a virtuous Christian do to another Christian? Iron sharpeneth iron. So doth a man sharpen the countenance of his friends. Hey, let me ask you this. If you take a knife and you beat it on something like cement or against wood or against something else, what's it going to do? Dull the blade, right? There's a show on the History Channel called Forged in Fire. I like to watch that. They make knives and stuff on swords and all that jazz. It's interesting. Metallurgy, right? And they do these tests to test these weapons these guys make. And they hit them on things that they're not supposed to hit knives with. Like ice blocks and bicycle frames and wooden things and metal things. And they start taking a knife and punching it into a steel barrel drum, you know, and just... You're not supposed to do that. Every time they do it, it's like you just cringe. And you're like, and then they get done and they're like, oh yeah, your blade chipped a little bit. Duh. That's not what it's for. You're not supposed to do that to it. But can I tell you something? What happens to someone else's sharpness when they rub up against you? Are they sharper when they're done with you? Or are they duller when they're done with you? A virtuous Christian will help sharpen another Christian. Because that's the process. That's what needs to take place and happen. Hey, when lost people come in contact with you, do they want to be a Christian? Or are they done with Christianity? How is it? Do they go away saying, oh, I don't have any desire to be a Christian? Or do they say, I want to know more about Jesus? What makes you so different? In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In Jude it says, but beloved, remember ye the words which are spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And over in Philippians, Paul encouraged the Christians at Philippi. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're almost done. One more admonishment to live a virtuous life in your relationship with others. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter, just a little bit from where we started tonight, look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. It's called a virtuous life. The inward man, the outward man, and then our dealings with other people around us, both saved and lost, both family members and non-family members. We just need to be virtuous Christians.